Well, good morning. Great. That was different from just 1 second ago, wasn't it? Or was that just in my head? Great to see you. I'm thankful that you are here. Thank you for being here. It's a big day, an exciting time, and we are looking forward not only to this time we have right here, right now, to open up God's Word and to study together, but we're looking forward to a big week, as today, you're looking forward to it, Nick. How many are going from here? Mid-60s. So over 60 people from here are going to be loading up this afternoon and heading out to camp and be gone. That's a big chunk of us. We will be praying for you, miss you while you're gone, but we're looking forward to great things. Lots of folks, both young and old, being built up and encouraged. But we also, at the end of this week, have a group going to Honduras, and we just have a lot of things going on. Lots of people to be praying for, lots of good work, powerful work to be praying for, and much good to be accomplished. And so we are looking forward to that, anticipating good reports on those things as they are shared with us. So let me encourage you to be committed to praying for those who are going to camp today, be gone. Be committed to praying for those who are going to Honduras at the end of the week. And be committed to praying for your brothers and sisters and for the good things that will be happening and the efforts being put forth. What we want to do today is continue the study that we've been doing the last several weeks of the Sermon on the Mount. So I hope you have your Bibles open to Matthew 6. Brother Leland read for us a good chunk of what we want to look at. We're looking at Matthew 6, verses 19 to 34. I hope that you got a handout, that you can see the outline and follow along with where we're going, since we don't have any bullet points to share with you, since the bulb is out on the projector. But Matthew 6, 19 to 34 is where we're looking today. And we're going to deal with, as we listen to the words of Jesus, as we listen to Jesus preach and share this message, we're going to listen to Jesus share a message about something that very often we don't want to hear about. But if you go through the Gospels and you take note of the subject matter that Jesus addressed, you'll notice he hit on a very regular basis, the things people didn't want to hear about. Jesus spoke a lot about hell, the reality of it, what it's like. He spoke a lot about that. We don't want to hear about that generally. But also, Jesus spoke quite a bit about money and possessions and our view of the material, our attachment to the material. Jesus spoke about those kinds of things a lot. And so we need to give attention to it as well. And that's the focal point of this today in Matthew 6, beginning at verse 19. We're going to talk about the very powerful potential that our possessions have. The potential to do great things. The potential to do damaging things. So let's begin here. Let's think about this together. I hope that you will agree with me. I hope that you won't take issue. I hope you won't be offended if I say we are blessed. And I don't just mean us right here in this room. I think that's true. In this state, in this country, we are blessed. I'm sure that you've heard the various stats through the years that drive this point home. I'm sure you've heard something similar to this fact here. The typical person who's in the bottom 5%, let me emphasize that. If you're an American and you earn in the bottom 5% of all other Americans, you're still richer than 70% of the rest of the world. So you look around at other Americans, I'm in the bottom five, I'm a nothing. You're richer than 70% of the rest of the world. If you only make $25,000 a year, you're in the top 2%. Let me say that again. $25,000 a year means you are in the top 2% of the richest people in all the world. More than 1 billion people live on less than $1 a day. Now, I don't share all those things to scare anybody, to shame anybody, any of that kind of thing. We share that information to point this out. We're blessed. And with great blessing comes great responsibility. If you have the money to pay bills and buy groceries, you have something significant. If you have the money to do just a little bit more than that, you've got great obligations. The Lord tells us quite plainly that He expects us to view and He expects us to do the right things when it comes to our material possessions. When you have wealth and you squander it, the Lord says that is unacceptable. It's unacceptable. Jesus very often is going to speak about these things. And so as we look at Matthew chapter 6, I want you to think through this with me. As Jesus is going to say so plainly and so powerfully that the things you have the potential to do great, or the things you have the potential to bring you down. So 4 points that we will make. First of all, right here, look with me. We'll read it again, verses 19 through 21. Matthew 6, 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where your treasure is, your heart is. Where you deem something to be valuable, when you assign something to be significant and special, where your heart is, where you treasure something, that's where your heart will be. I want to think about it this way. Our possessions have the potential to reveal our passions. What are you passionate about? What would you say if you're just going about your day-to-day life, it's just a Tuesday afternoon, you're minding your own business at work, or you're at school, it's a normal day, and then sort of out of the blue, someone catches you off guard, and they say to you, what are you passionate about? What lights your fire? What gets you going? What are you passionate about? How would you answer that question? Well, what we own and what we desire to own can reveal a lot about what we're passionate about. It's often the case, now it's not true 100% of the time, but it's often the case that the place that we most want to be, the place that we most want to go, is the place we end up going. If you set your sights on some type of a job or some type of a possession, if you set your sights on it, most of the time, that's where you'll end up being. What we think about, what we plan for. Isn't it amazing at the ways in which you will do back bends and you will just go through all types of links and all types of heartaches? Isn't it amazing what you will do to achieve something, to get something that you really, really want? Have you thought about that? Whether it was something like a car or a promotion or a date, whatever it might be, when you really want something, have you thought about all the things you're willing to sacrifice to get it? The Lord says here, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. Those things that you'll sacrifice for, those things that you'll bend over backwards for in order to finally attain them, finally get them. That reveals a lot to me, the Lord says. What are you passionate about? Because He said, now I want you to know, as He says here, if you're really concerned about earthly things, you know, those things that can be eaten up by animals, those things that can rust, those things that can be stolen. He says, look, there's some things that are just temporary. And far too many of us are consumed with the temporary. Let me ask you some of these questions. Why is there even such a thing in the world as a warranty? Why do warranties exist? Why do retail stores exist? I could say something that might be get me in trouble at home, and I'm not going to say it. Why do repair stores exist? We see these kinds of things. Warranties exist, repair stores exist, retail stores exist, because stuff wears out. Stuff breaks. Stuff goes out of style. And so we need to replace it. He says, moth and rust destroy our possessions. The things that are temporary are just that. They go away. And then he says this. Let me ask you these questions. Do you have locks on your doors? Before you left your home this morning, did you set some kind of an alarm? Did you lock a deadbolt? When you walked from your car in the parking lot into this building, did you press a little remote? Did you hear your doors lock on your car? Did you hear maybe a little beep from your alarm system? Did you install cameras at your house? I know all over this building we've installed cameras. We have people right now that are watching and seeking to keep us safe. Have you ever bought an insurance policy? You ever put a password on an online account? We could keep going. I think you see the point. We do these things because there are people who want to steal our stuff. The stuff we've worked so hard for. The stuff we've dreamed about possessing for so long. Thieves break in and steal, Jesus said. So he says, are you going to be consumed with that which can be destroyed? Are you going to be consumed with that which can be stolen? Or are you going to be consumed with that which can't be taken away? That which can't be stolen? That which won't fade? Jesus would say it this way in John 6:27. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. Where are you storing your treasure? Are you just accumulating more and more things here? Do you have attics full? Storage buildings, you know, storage units and other places that are full? Do you have stuff after stuff? And do you still need more stuff? What's your passion? Where are you storing things? You see, in the first century, when Jesus was first sharing this story, when he was first sharing these ideas, and he says, don't lay up for yourselves. Don't store up treasures on the earth. Originally, in this time, in Jesus' day, storing was done by digging a hole in the ground. Digging a hole in the ground. You can go back to Joshua chapter 7, verse 21, and there's Achan and the children of Israel, and they were told so plainly, when you destroy your enemy, don't take the gold and the clothes. Don't take the stuff. Don't covet the material. But Achan, when he saw it, he couldn't take it. He scoops it up, takes it back to his tent, and what's he do? He buries it. And then you go into a place like Matthew chapter 13, verse 44, where it says, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found. He found it in the field, and he covers it up. And in his joy, he goes and sells all he has, and he buys the field. The treasure was stuck in the ground. Matthew 25, verse 18, the one talent man. Remember when the master comes home and the master says, what'd you do with the talent I gave you? He says, I buried it in the ground. Here's the point, and this makes such a powerful illustration from the mouth of Jesus Christ. What's your posture? Are you consumed with the earth? Do you have your shovel out, digging another hole to put your stuff in it? Are you storing up treasures here? Are you concerned about earthly things? Are you looking down? Or are you looking up? Gazing upon eternity. Looking for the one, the author and finisher of our faith. Where are you storing your treasure? You see, we have banks and we've got storage units and we've got safes. They were putting their things in the ground. We know how to store up earthly treasure. The question is, do we know how to store up heavenly treasure? Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. I want you to take note of this. Listen carefully. Hebrews 6, 10. God is not unjust so as to overlook, note this, your work and the love that you have shown. God doesn't miss it when you work and when you display and share love. God is not unjust so as to overlook your work and the love that you have shown for His name and serving the saints as you still do. How do I store up heavenly treasure? How do I continue to invest in eternity? Work for the kingdom and show other people love. Hebrews 6:10 is pretty plain. That's how I continue to invest in the future and what really matters. In Mark chapter 9, verse 41, the Bible says, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ will by no means lose his reward. In other words, they are continuing to invest in the eternal. So when we give, when we give of our time, our energy, our money, when we invest these things in the kingdom, we're storing up treasure in heaven. When we share the gospel, when we tell somebody about Jesus Christ, that He is the way, the truth, and the life, John 14:6, that there's no other way to the Father except through Jesus, when we share the gospel, we are investing in eternity. We're storing up treasures in heaven. When we show compassion, when we show kindness. So I want you to take an inventory. Take an inventory of your situation. Pull out the ledger book of your situation, your heart. Your possessions have the potential to reveal what you're passionate about. Does the evidence indicate that you're passionate about heaven, or does it indicate you're passionate about earth? Are you passionate about the things that can't be taken away, or are you passionate about the things that can be corrupted and stolen? The evidence reveals a strong case. Our possessions show what we're passionate about. Next, our possessions also have the potential to change and alter our perspective. I want you to read with me at verse 22 beginning, because this is an odd few verses here. You don't hear much about this, because I think not many people understand what's going on here. Matthew 6:22. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body be full of light. Your eye is bad, your whole body be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? I think this is a simple message here. Jesus just says this. When you look at the world, when you get up each morning and you take on a brand new day, when you go out the front door ready to challenge and take on the world, what do you see? What do you see when you approach the world? Because see, the eye here is compared to a window that lets in light. I want you to imagine with me a room that faces the sun. And you've got some really excellent curtains on these windows. The kind of curtains that aren't allowing a single sun ray, sunbeam to come in through the window. And then you start to open. You're in this dark room that's just pitch black. And you start to open this shade that's facing the sun. And the sun just starts pouring into this room. It's beautiful. Jesus says that's what the eye is about. It's what's letting light in to who you are. But then He says this. You now have a choice. You have a choice about what you're going to look at. And in fact, you have a choice as to what it is when you actually see things, what you're going to see when you see them. Let me illustrate it this way. This is what Jesus is saying. Every morning when you get up, it's like you're living in a room where on one side there's a window that looks out on the most majestic, most beautiful thing that you could ever dream of. Maybe your favorite sight is the Rocky Mountains. Maybe your favorite sight is some beach somewhere where the water is just bluer than any other blue you've ever seen. So I want you to put this here. You look out this window and you see the sight you want to see. That beautiful sight. You got another window on the other side, and you look out it. You ever been so excited about a vacation, and you get to your hotel room, and you open up the door or the window, and it's like bricks? Or you open up the window, and it's looking into an alley, and all you see are dumpsters and trash. And you're like, ugh. Outside is still something beautiful. Out this window is something ugly. What are you going to see? Each morning, you've got this window looks at the Rocky Mountains, this window that looks at bricks or dumpsters. Which one will you look at? Which one will you see? Will you be so angry about this window, or will you be so delighted about this one? Jesus says, you have the opportunity. You have the opportunity to see certain things. Are you consumed with greed and wanting more and more and more so that every day you just look out that ugly window? Or are you consumed with the beauty of heaven and so each day you look out that window and gaze upon that which is breathtaking? Jesus is saying you have a choice. It's all about your perspective. You have a choice. One vision, one sight is going to lift you up to greater heights. Another sight is going to pull you down deeper into the mire. It's similar to what Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 3. I want you to read this with me. Colossians 3. I think the same message here in Colossians 3, 1-3 is the same message in Matthew 6, 22 and 23. If then you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you've died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with Him in glory. What will you focus on? The difficulties, the heartache, the circumstances that are here, or the beauty and the majesty of the Lord Jesus Christ who's coming for us? Your possessions, if you focus on them, can make you sick. Our greed and our envy can destroy us. When we're consumed with the things of this life, it can destroy us. But our possessions have the power, have the potential to change the way we look at the world, to change our perspective. And so the Lord asks this, what is your eye focused on? Your eye is what lets in light. Your eye is what brings in all those things God has created. What's your perspective? The earth or eternity? The earth or heaven? Thirdly, and beginning here in Matthew 6, 24, Jesus also tells us that our possessions have the potential to change our priorities. Our possessions have the potential to change what we value, to change what we put first. Read with me here, beginning at verse 24. He says, no one can serve two masters. Either he'll hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you'll eat, what you'll drink, nor about your body, what you'll put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, neither gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his lifespan? Why are you anxious about clothing? Consider, look at the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? Oh, you of little faith. Therefore, do not be anxious about anything, saying, well, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So here's the point here. Life's more than food. Life is more than clothing. Does it matter what we eat? Of course it does. You don't eat, you don't drink, you die. Does it matter what we wear? Of course it does. We must dress in such a way as to glorify and bring honor to Almighty God. But real life is more than this. If our biggest priorities revolve around what we're going to eat, and that probably describes a bunch of us, if our biggest priorities really revolve around what we're going to wear, then let me say this as kindly as I know how. That's a pathetic life. That's a sad, sad life. What are you doing with the eternal soul that you possess? What are you doing with the reputation that you possess? What are you doing with the time that you possess? What are you doing with the friends and the family and the church family that you possess? Life is so much more than food and clothing. And so often we get this ridiculous tunnel vision and we're just consumed with and concerned about, what will I eat? What will I drink? What will I wear? The Lord says, look, here's one remedy. Here's one way in which you can relieve yourself. You can remove that kind of pain from your life. He says, do this. Verse 26 and verse 28. He says, look around. Look at the birds. Look at the flowers. Look around. Learn this lesson. God provides. Look around and learn this lesson. God has blessed me. That's what he wants you to say. When you look around, you see the amazing animal kingdom. You see the flowers and the grass that grow and fade and grow again. God wants you to look at that and say, God has blessed me. I'm in an amazing position. God is powerful. God has made a world that is truly amazing. God has created a world that is truly beautiful. And so God says, look around, look at the flowers, look at the birds. He says, look at this and recognize you have every reason to be happy. Can I say that again? God says, look around, take inventory, and recognize you have every reason to be happy. We need to reflect what God has done and who he is. We need to reflect upon where we've been and where we will be soon. When Jesus says, look around, look at the flowers, look at the birds, in essence, he's saying this. Look at where you are and who you are. Look at your life. When you recognize who God is and how he takes care of everything around you, and you consider the way that he's blessed you, I want you to look back and I want you to think right now, are you proud of where you have put emphasis in your life? Are you proud of what you have been consumed with? Are you proud of where you have put your investments? Look at your life. Are you proud of the choices that you've made? And then that brings us to the final idea. Our possessions finally have the potential to affect our ability to be patient. Don't be anxious, he says again and again. Don't be anxious. So many of us worry, so many of us fret. I want you to note here that in this text where again and again he says, don't be anxious, that he doesn't say, don't be anxious because it's easy not to be. That's not what he says. He says, don't be anxious because I am real, I am here, I see you, I know you, and I'm going to bless you. And so what I'm calling on you to do is trust me. And then here's the good news. Anxiety is a burden that can be lifted. It's a burden that can be lifted. And so he's calling upon us to change and to be patient and to be more trusting. When he says there in verse 34, look, don't worry yourself to death about tomorrow and next year and the next day. Today's trouble is enough for today. Deal with today. Trust me today. That's why one of the best prayers that you and I can offer, one of the most powerful, most significant prayers that you and I can offer on a daily basis is this. Lord, for today, give me the strength. Lord, for today, help me to do what I need to do. Lord, for today, help me to be the man or the woman you expect me to be. Lord, for today, help me to speak to people the way I should. Lord, for today, help me be the servant I should be. Lord, for today, give me the strength that I need to be your child. Today's trouble is enough for today. Trust him with today. Can I say that again? Trust him with today. He knows what's best. He provides. He provides daily bread, but he provides more than that. I want you to know as you read through this paragraph in Matthew 6, verses 25 through 34, Jesus says, I hope your perspective and your priorities change because you know I'm giving you everything you need, not to be rich. I'm not promising you fat bank accounts. I'm not promising you lots of cars and big houses, but I'm promising you this. I'm giving you everything you need to be spiritually great. I'm giving you everything you need to be victorious. I'm giving you everything you need to be satisfied. I'm giving you everything you need to be spiritually successful. I'm giving you everything you need to live the abundant life. I'm giving you everything you need to be full of joy. I'm giving you all of it He's given us all we need to be victorious. 1 Peter 5:7, that's why Peter, the one who used to worry all the time, Peter used to worry so much, Lord, we're going to die on this boat. Don't you know there's a big wave here? There's a big storm. Lord, we're going to die on this boat. Lord, we've left everything for you. Who's going to provide for us? Lord, you can't die. You can't go away. Who will lead us? Lord, this, Lord. Peter worried all the time. And then later, Peter wrote this in 1 Peter 5:7. Cast all your anxieties and cares on him because he cares for you. He learned to trust. He learned to change his focus. He was keeping his life free from the love of money. He was content with what he had because he knew Jesus Christ would never leave him. Jesus tells us this in Matthew 6. Our possessions are absolutely filled with potential. Our possessions have the potential to make us happy. Our possessions have the potential to make people around us happy. But our possessions also have the potential to destroy us. So the question is, what are we doing with them? What are we doing with those blessings that have been brought our way? Are we serving God? Or are we serving money? Are we serving God? Or are we serving selfish desires? Are our treasures here? Or are our treasures there? If your perspective must change and you know you need the help of the Lord to change them, then we invite you to come. If it's the case that you've never even named Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, you've never publicly admitted that you are convinced you're a sinner and He's the Savior, that the tomb is empty and He's offering you hope, you have an opportunity to do that. If you've never repented of your sins, as we see in Acts 2:38, in order to then follow Jesus into the water and be forgiven, to be added to the kingdom, you have that opportunity now to start living a life that matters and living a life of eternal possession. Where are your treasures? Where are your treasures? If you need to come, won't you come while we stand and sing?